Good evening and welcome, dear ones. It is wonderful to see all of your faces, to feel your presence, to come here together this evening to close our octave for the year. And so we begin in prayer in the name of God, transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent, indwelling, the Holy Living Trinity, in whom we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So now, deep into Advent, the days are growing shorter, darker. Nonetheless, the Christ light is bright. Advent light is upon us, growing steadily as we approach Christmas and the Feast of the Incarnation. This evening, in continued remembrance of those whose lineage we gratefully follow, we remember Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton really was the founder, the sounding dough of the renewal of the contemplative tradition. He entered the monastery on December 10th, 1941, and he died in an unusual accident on December 10th, 1968. At the age of only 53, one can't help but wonder that what he would have become had he lived another 42 years like Thomas Keating. One would only wonder. 1968 was a very tumultuous year in the United States. It was a year of continuous rioting, the killings of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, the riotous Democratic National Convention, which was held in Chicago. Yet nonetheless, the year concluded with a Christmas blessing, which we will share again this year at the end of our class. So I invite you to stay to the end of our class tonight and view and listen to this video, which lasts not quite 3 minutes. And then we'll have our customary closing music and the opportunity to see one another on the screen as we close the evening, close our year, and bid each other a joyful holiday and a renewal of one's less yes to participation, to embodying essentially the life of Christ ourselves in our own personal incarnation. So now I'd like to begin with a prayer that Thomas Merton offered on his trip to Southeast Asia, where he spent the last 2 months of his life. He went to Bangkok and Indonesia and India, and then back to Bangkok. But this was a special closing prayer that he gave at a conference that was entitled the First Spiritual Summit Conference, and it was held in Calcutta. O God, you have made us one with you. You have taught us that if we are open to one another, you dwell in our midst. Help us to preserve this openness with all our hearts. Help us to realize there can be no understanding where there is mutual rejection. O God, in accepting one another wholeheartedly, fully, completely, we then accept you, and we thank you, and we adore you, and we love you with our whole being, because our being is in your being. Our spirit is rooted in your spirit. Fill us then with your love. And let us be bound together with love. as we go our diverse ways, united in this one spirit, which makes you present in the world and which makes you witness the ultimate reality that is love. Love has overcome. Love is victorious. Love never fails. Amen. So into the emotional center we delved, and it is in the emotional center where the real work really lives today, tomorrow, and to come. And so it is. A special note, as I mentioned, this is our last class of the year. Our next one will actually be a special introduction to the Journey School, and it will be held for 1 hour on January 6th. And it's for anyone that wishes to understand the intent and aims of the Journey School and its various options for participation. And as you consider perhaps your own participation in 2022, perhaps this will bring a little more clarity to what is being offered and how it may offer something special and different to you next year. So we will begin registration for next year on January 1st. And registration to participate in journey groups and or to participate as an oblate in community, the deadline for signing up for these will be January 31st. The beginnings of journey groups and work partners will be the week of February 6th. So may you prayerfully consider your participation, and I look forward to joining with many, if not every single one of you next year as we continue our journey in this beloved school that we never graduate from, actually. It just keeps unfolding and unfolding. So now let us prepare our being to receive, to place ourselves under the canopy of the work, and in stillness and spaciousness of being, to deeply listen, to remove any distractions, to be present now, here, perhaps lighting a candle ourselves and removing our shoes, preparing a sacred intention and receptacle. So with back upright and heart open, mind in directed attention, yet relaxed, open, wondering, we breathe in deeply all every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything. Everything that has passed through us this year. Everything that hurt, that was confused, that created fear, everything that uplifted and inspired, that loved, all affirming, all denying, all reconciled, and we carry it and hold it as offering. We lift it and ask that it all be transubstantiated in our being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds, the heights and the depths, the length and the width. I hand over all complexities. I hand over all plans for tomorrow. I hand over all the anxieties and fears of my heart. I yield to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. We now enter into the prayer of Lectio Divina. And our passage will be read 3 times. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of God's calling, what are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us. A few conscious people can produce more energy of high quality than thousands or even millions of people who exist automatically in sleep. It doesn't usually occur as the result of a single moment of self-abandonment, but rather as a repeated choice to respond to the impulses that reach one from one's own higher nature, of which one is not yet fully conscious. And the journey continues. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of God's calling, what are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us. A few conscious people can produce more energy of high quality than thousands or even millions of people who exist automatically in sleep. It doesn't usually occur as the result of a single moment of self-abandonment, but rather as a repeated choice to respond to the impulses that reach one from one's own higher nature, of which one is not yet fully conscious. And the journey continues. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of God's calling. What are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us? A few conscious people can produce more energy of high quality than thousands or even millions of people who exist automatically in sleep. It doesn't usually occur as the result of a single moment of self-abandonment, but rather as a repeated choice to respond to the impulses that reach one from one's own higher nature, of which one is not yet fully conscious. And the journey continues. Amen. So I invite you to share with us what you received during the reading of that message, or the gazing upon the image and the thoughts of your hearts. Lisa, welcome.
Good evening. What I heard was that it does not happen in a moment of self-abandonment, but as a repeated choice.
Yes.
And that repeated choice for me is to show up at my centering prayer practice. And it may seem tedious at times, it may seem dry, but the showing up, the repeated choice is where the growth happens. And I'm just so very grateful for the prayer and for this community.
Indeed, Lisa. And I'm grateful for you. Thank you. David.
Good evening, everyone. I also heard that part of the reading, as did Lisa. And for me, it spoke that same message. And I also realized, as I pondered it, that how much of the choices that I have made have been in response to outer impulses. And that really an indicator of sort of progress along the journey for me has been that deeper and more consistent listening to those inner impulses from, you know, the higher nature, which it's, you know, the words in the reading were one's own higher nature. Well, you know, I'm not sure I can claim credit for it, but it is coming from inside somehow. And when we all do that, I mean, it was in that paragraph, it's like, this is how, you know, the evolutionary advancement happens, is that, you know, enough of us are doing that. And, you know, it feels really good that I can make, you know, an infinitely small but meaningful contribution to that evolution.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Alan, please.
I heard a lot of really, really great ideas, but what stood out for me was the punctuation mark at the end and the journey continues. I got to look at that from a slightly negative viewpoint and from a very positive viewpoint. I guess I must be a multiplicity or something.
Amen. Thank you, Alan. Thank you. Sharon.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
What has come up for me is the component, the journey continues. And I think back on when I met Tim in 1983. And then I think about our retreats at Waldemar. Mm-hmm. I think about Susan bringing the song in, "You are the potter, I am the clay." And then the component of the Eucharist, "This is what you are becoming." Mm-hmm. So to me, those are experiences on my journey that came up for me, and I wish to stay open to whatever God wishes for me for the future.
Thank you, Sharon, and thank you for your faithful and persistent and continuous companionship on the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pamela or Michael or both.
Hello there. I had a memory come up. It had to be at least 15 years ago when I read that exact same passage to a group of people entering the 10th man school. Maybe it was longer than that. And so the journey continues.
Yes, yes. Your time body remembers.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
It was very surprising.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. There's time for one more. Who is the lucky one? We await you. Marky, it's you. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Mine is very short, but just a part of a phrase that stood out to me was the hope of God's calling. And then just such a sweet invitation, and it definitely ties into our higher self kind of prompting us. And that's really all I have to say.
Well, it's perfect timing. Thank you, Marky, very much. And everyone. So tonight, we do conclude our journey of truth opens the eyes of our hearts. And we have glimpses over the horizon. So I'm very pleased to introduce Peter, who will accompany us into this journey of discovery again. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Marianne. And good evening, everyone. Good to see each of you and feel your presence through the screen. Big gratitude to Marianne for all she is and all she does for our community through the role of Abbess and the Journey School. And big thanks to Tim and Barbara for last week's sharing, which was so beautiful and heartfelt. I had the privilege of sitting with Tim in his bedroom at their home this week, and it was just very poignant to hear him in significant diminishment, and to feel his being still giving so much. So sending love and prayers for Tim and Barbara and their well-being and their journey. A year ago of this very night, I was sitting right here, and probably like many of you, you were sitting right there where you are right now. And perhaps some of you can remember that night. I remember endings and beginnings more vividly than the in-between meetings, but I particularly remember that night because we were concluding the octave of our first journey school that had been on Zoom only during 2020 in the pandemic. It was, you know, the way draws us deeper. And that night I reviewed where we had come from on the way draws us deeper, and I introduced the new theme for 2021, which was truth opens the eyes of our hearts. And here we are at the end of 2021, and having moved through that theme, if you may recall, we were Zoom bombed that night, and we've come a long way from that experience, something of a trauma, of a shock, really. But the evolution that we've all experienced together has been beautiful and difficult all at once. And so it's an honor to be together tonight. Just as a way of kind of reviewing where we've come from this year and beginning our time of sharing, since there wasn't particularly homework last week or the week prior, given Thanksgiving, I just wanted to prime your pump and just review the Journey School 2021 archives, Truth Opens the Eyes of Our Hearts. And when you sit down and look at this page, it's quite overwhelming in the sense of scope and scale. We've covered the major ideas, and obviously we go so quickly through them, and perhaps there's a way for us and yours to come to settle in into certain subjects and focus down and drill down. But right now, this is our way, and just take a look at the screen as I scroll through and just take a active part of this memory process and try and connect with one of these. Try and remember yourself. Who have you been this year on these Thursday nights? What have these nights meant to you? I'll just scroll through and just see if anything comes to mind and arises in your emotional field. So you can see we've covered a great deal of territory and significant ideas that have been useful in our lives. I particularly remember the importance of the transforming the passions section of our time together, which took 5 or 6 weeks. Perhaps you have a favorite of these. Perhaps the images help you remember how you experienced an email or a conversation you had with a work partner or a journey group. It's important to live in this body and remember where we've come from and ground that in sharing. And so I invite you to share what you've received this year. Feel free to just ponder with us what you've received, what has spoken to you. There's so many who have never shared publicly, and I understand that, and that's totally okay. But this would be a night, if you are normally not one to share, to perhaps ground outside of yourself what you've received this year And perhaps Spirit will give you words to try and articulate what you've felt or experienced through the through our journey together. So just go ahead and raise your hand, and then you'll be asked to unmute. Jim Baker, please.
Yes, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For me, it was compassion. The focuses that we had on compassion, it really helped me open my heart and recognize and realize how self-centered I can be, and to not make meaning out of situations where it really requires compassion and openness to partially understand the inner workings and the actions of another human being who's no different than me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Jim. You had an unexpected yourself and compassion toward yourself.
That also. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, brother. Karen Rink, please.
All right. Thank you. I can be heard. Can I be heard? Okay. Well, thank you all so much. I've learned so much about also compassion for myself and for others. If I don't have it for myself, I cannot extend it to others. And I was really working on some physical healing of my body. So the body sessions were very important to me and added so much to what I could add to how I look and find the pain areas in my body and how they instruct me as to where and what's happening. And that I can and do pay attention to that. As far as my body goes, but also my emotional healing of my emotional center. And that my emotional center seems a lot more calm and at peace, that I don't have to have the eyes jump out immediately all the time to stake their claim. And because, you know, I can feel that difference. And I enjoy feeling the feeling of peace and contentment. And it has let me be a lot more kind and considerate and understanding of others. Even when I feel so provoked by what appears to be other people's misunderstanding of what I said, or not hearing what I said, or ignoring what I said. Those are very old triggers for me. So I want to thank you for the expansion of my intellectual center, to be able to look at myself with clear eyes. And I love the question about now, is this really true? Is this really what the situation is? And I'm just seeing my world expand from this little bitty thing that I thought my world was to, oh, wow, look at all the choices I have. Look at all the possibilities. And there are many. And again, it's the same feeling with accepting the possibilities, as wonderful and lovely as they are, as compared to living a small life. And I can live a much larger life.
Mm-hmm.
By revealing the truth. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. It's beautiful. Let's go to Jack Yearly, please.
After many years of centering prayer, I finally got to a place where there's stillness and quiet. And being a head type, I've struggled for years with constant chatter in the mind. But with all of the practices we've learned and studied, especially recently with the parasympathetic practice that we do with the tongue at the roof of our mouth, also the welcoming prayer has taught me to be still in the midst of whatever's going on. So I'm just really grateful for this chance to finally be silent. It's the pandemic helped too, so it was all grouped together. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jackie. And again, just an invitation, if for those who haven't normally shared, if you'd like to do so, I encourage you to do so. And I'll actually wait to call on you. And others have shared before. So if I don't know Stephanie Farley, let's see who Stephanie Farley is. You'll need to unmute yourself.
Hello, am I unmuted?
Mm-hmm.
Hi. Okay. So I just gave birth to my son about 3 weeks ago. And I shared a little bit about this in my journey group this week, because this whole year has been, I've been pregnant with him almost from the start of our time together, and went through the whole year you know, with the journey school, and just recently went through the rite of passage of giving birth to him and becoming a mother. And I just wanted to speak to how important the school and the work and my journey group in particular has been to me during that time. And particularly because we had a birth experience that was not as we expected. He came early and had to spend some time in the NICU, and we were separated and things like that. And so it has been really such a help to have all these practices, particularly of like acceptance during these times. I almost spoke after the reading because that that's the thing that a lot of people talked about in the Lectio Divina today was it's not one moment of self-abandonment, but this repeated choice. And our birth experience was very much, you know, I thought, well, we have to go to the hospital instead of being at home. Okay, I can accept this, and went through this whole process of acceptance. And then it was like, oh, now he's in the NICU. And then, okay, this new process of acceptance. Oh, now they want to do, you know, these invasive treatments of him and things like that. And so more acceptance, and all the times when I wasn't able to accept, and my wonderful partner here was able to help me through. And it just, I wouldn't have been possible, I don't think, without the support of this work. And I'm just very grateful for that, because it turned something that might have been very traumatic and I might have seen as negative into a really beautiful experience that has been, you know, contributing to our growth as a family. And I just want to honor that here. So thank you.
Thank you. And we honor you for your work and for transforming those incoming impressions, and for all the ways in which your work will bless your son's life. What's his name?
Flavio? Flavio.
Oh, Flavio. May Flavio know the truth that opens the eyes of his heart.
Yeah, thank you.
Bless you all. Yeah, good to see you tonight. Let's go to Sue Young, please. Or Rusty?
It's me. Hold on. I need to I need to put on my camera. Hold on. Okay. Hello. Flavio is precious. Oh my goodness. So I've been in and out of the work for probably about 25 years. And, you know, the Journey School this year and the last year has just been a phenomenal experience. I so appreciate all the people who put the curriculum together, all the teachers who presented. You know, I've been engaging with the work for a long time, but I feel like I've really gained more understanding and more another place of entry into it because of the way it's been presented in the last couple of years. And so I want to give deep gratitude to everyone who's been involved in putting that together and presenting. And I also want to thank all of you who've shared your journey, because for me, one of the really inspiring parts of doing the work has been hearing from people like me who are in the trenches trying to apply it in their lives and just reporting how that's going and what the challenges are and what the, you know, when you actually are able to see something and separate from it and, you know, the fruit of that in your life. To me, that's really inspiring, and it inspires me to keep going, because it's not one moment. It's like so many moments that I have to keep working. And, you know, there are some lazy eyes in this one that just want to like coast and not work that hard. So I want to thank y'all for helping me to inspiring me to keep going. And I look forward to another great year.
Thank you, Sue. And it's good to see you and glad you're feeling healthy. Yeah. Let's go to Bob Karstens, please.
Thank you, Peter. Since you've made such an eloquent call for the lurkers to show up, I feel kind of obliged to say my piece and of gratitude tonight for another year of learning and of what is provided for me is context. Because I think that maybe for many of us, not just me, this is it's a lonely time. Because of COVID, and also for me, because of age, you know, you get older. But this, and also being a mystic all my life, I've kind of wondered where that came from and why, and how this time body thing has worked out since for many decades for me. And so, the Journey School has given me a brother and sisterhood of like-minded seekers and some finders. I feel like I'm still more of a seeker than I am a finder. But what this has given me is a context to let go a little bit more and to trust. And that's how I feel. That's why I feel more gratitude this year, is that it hasn't really relied on in an intellectual context for me, but that there has been I've drifted much more into accepting my heart center, my emotional center. And I think that that is because of Cynthia Bourgeot and the context that she provides, along with the insights that so many people have given here. And the folks at the who designed the curriculum have truly been inspired, and I want them to know that even though it's working on me, and it's working more slowly than sometimes I would like, I'm learning to let go and to let God and let and accept what's the transformation that's been taking place in my life, you know, from the get go. So thank you all for that.
Thank you, Bob. It is a process. I remember one Thursday night class, several, maybe 10 years ago, that Pamela gave us a reminder of the spiritual journey by singing the itsy bitsy spider went up the whatever, up, down came the rain, and then he fell. So it all keeps going up and coming back down. What a fun journey. Thank you. It's good to see you. Welcome home. Let's go to Jeff, please. Jeff.
Hi, Peter. Good evening. My first year with any group, I've had made a solitary practice for many years, and it's really been quite amazing for me just hearing all of these other people and their experiences and their journeys. And my journey group has just really helped me grow so much and just have all these other lights out there upon which I could reflect upon. I think some of the big things for me is being able
I think we lost Jeff.
So really let's go to my practice. Can you hear me or am I going?
Yeah, we can now. Yes, keep going.
Okay. Just that a lot of these tools in the work have come so naturally, and I've been able to make all of these connections, and particularly with a retrospection and actually understanding of the time bodied, I used it, but be able to have the concept of the time body and then just bring all the tools and go back and just work on all this stuff. It's just been a huge growth and just finding this community. It's been totally awesome for me.
I'm grateful to know you, Jeff, and thanks for coming to visit us a couple months ago. It's nice to meet you and your wife, and glad to be on the journey with you. Let's do Barbara Risser. I believe that's Barbara Risser. I can't see Barbara R. You need to unmute yourself. Barbara, I can't hear you.
Okay, now can you?
Yes.
So many years ago, Peter, you and I were at a retreat at Cedar, Cedar Break. And it was a formation for becoming presenters. It was that long ago. And you were in my breakout group. And I remember saying that I wanted to pursue a spiritual journey because I wanted to be aligned with the universe. And this year has allowed me to feel that that is happening. So it's been hugely, hugely productive and rewarding. And I'm so happy that I got into the Church of Conscious Harmony when I did.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's not something you hear every day. I feel aligned with the universe. That's a beautiful witness. So bless you and bless the world. Thank you for sharing. May it continue to bear the fruit of love in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we have two others, and we're going to go to Gloria Jean Moore, please.
Hi. I'm unmuted.
Mm-hmm. Now you've muted.
Okay. It's been quite a year for me. This was what spoke to me. Everything came every week. Something was great that I got out of it. The curriculum, the visuals, it blew me away. I want to say again, thank you to all the work that goes into that. But this year, the one that popped the most with me was the one on recurrence and change, because I found it came to me in the middle of my fourth major cancer in 42 years. I had been a practicing student of metaphysics and really, like many cancer survivors, thought all those what I call lotions, potions, spells, and incantations was going to prevent it another time, and it didn't. It was a different type, but when it came up, I was in such denial, I didn't even tell my journey group for weeks about it because I just really couldn't face it. I've been here, done that. I thought I'd learned everything that I could learn from it. I thought I was done with it. And here I was with another, it wasn't the same cancer, it was a different one, but it was a recurrence. It was a recurrence happening again and again. And the difference of going through it, armed with what I had been getting in the past 2 years in journey schools, made the most profound difference in how I handle it. Even though I'd been a student of Unity for like 40 years and could do all the affirmations and denials and all that kind of stuff, I really got a big difference with this. I was so able to say what is what is. If this is my time, I'm ready. Fortunately, you know, I don't know why, how these mysteries work. And I really think it's hubris for any of us to think we know how any of it works. But it was such a gift to have the techniques, especially the Byron Katie stuff, where I could just, instead of going into the dark night and again, say, are you really sure? Do you really know this? That was just, those questions were so helpful, as was just the process of self-remembering, the process of identifying with the person of me, the identity of me that had overcome cancer three other times in 42 years. Where is that identity? I can use that and draw strength from that. And look at the other ones that probably contributed to my stress level and all those other things, and try to not feel like I'm blaming the victim in the middle and all those other kinds of stuff. And the complexities of any chronic illness or chronic condition are so deep. One must have a healing outlet. And I think the greatest healing outlet we have is contemplative prayer, because when we go deep, that's where healing occurs. And I think the stuff that Christine O'Brien presented about the parasympathetic nervous system was so spot on. Just another way to me that this church really meets what Phyllis Tickle, the religious historian, said, is that every 500 years, there's a major shift in our culture's religions. And, you know, you can go back to when Martin Luther wrote up, you know, his edict, and every 500 years, something has happened. And Peter, you've spoken about this before, but I really believe that this church and teaching these techniques that help us with our bodies and our minds, and not just our rote learning scripture. When I went to chaplain school, and one of the things that blew me away was there really were Christian counselors that gave you a list of scriptures to read to get over whatever your problem was, thinking that was going to fix you. I was blown away and insulted that that was a counseling technique. And it is. So I just think that what we're getting here at CCH can't be replicated, or can be replicated and should be replicated. And I would love to see, see these techniques, whatever you call it, go out there, because the most healing thing was when I was sitting in that chemo chair, to just go into my sits, you know, as much as you can with them sticking pins in you and all that other kind of stuff. But the deep sits that you, when you go there, it's just way beyond doing all those affirmations and visualizations and all that other kind of stuff. And I really think that's where the healing really, really occurs. And also what was so beautiful was during this time, we had all these cosmology exercises, sit in the evening sunset and watch the light come. And you can't be in a bad mood. You can't be dwelling on your own infirmities when you are immersed in what I call everyday enchantment. So I just tried to stay there. So I'm so deeply grateful to everyone there. I haven't shared much, but it's not been because I haven't had anything to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gloria. And we all rejoice with you and your, your state of health.
Yes, my state of health. Okay.
Your state of health.
I've met that magic, no evidence of disease, three times now, more than five Amen. Years. And so we're happy.
Amen. Thank you. Say hi to Richie. We'll conclude with Pam, I guess. Pam, if you can draw us to a close fairly briefly, that would be a blessing for all.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to put in a plug for Work Partners. I've been in the work for a long time, and many of those years by myself. I've had work partners in the past, but it had been several years since I'd had one. I had one this year who was brand new to the work, and it was really helpful to me in so many ways. One was that she came with such fresh eyes and helped me see things that I hadn't seen before. She had questions that made me, you know, use my intellectual center more and really delve into ideas deeper than I had in the past. So I just want to say that if people have not had a work partner, that's something to consider for next year, because that relationship is so enriching in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good witness. Thank you. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you everyone who has shared already. And if there's time to share before the Unite concludes, I do encourage you, if you haven't shared at all this year, to give it a shot. It will bless you, I assure, tenfold. Look, the Journey School is not perfect. It's one manifestation out of many, 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 many manifestations of wisdom throughout human history. And though it's not perfect, it is fruitful. And you'll know a tree by its fruit. And so we can give thanks to God for that. And special words of gratitude to everyone who's seasoned in the work, you might say old or well mature in the work, who has been patient, kind, and hospitable to newcomers who may not even know what they're getting into. And so the grace of the Journey School will continue if we remain open-hearted to all. And that is a real beautiful gift that we can live into from the spirit of love, which is really the warmth of consciousness. Consciousness is wonderful, but it can be cold. And so joining together consciousness and love is what community does at its best. Well, community can also kill you too, but let's not get too exuberant here. But community is a place where we really get to feel the warmth of love with one another. Even the hermits in the desert, early 2nd, 3rd century of Christian monasticism to this very present day, all the hermits always will reconnect with their community and their abbot as a way of balancing and being sane and experiencing the warmth of human community. So thank you everyone for sharing throughout the year. I'm gonna give a preview of the big ideas coming in 2022 related to our new theme. So if you just bear with me for a moment, I'm gonna share my screen and the PowerPoint. So I trust everyone can see the PowerPoint. We conclude this year, the way draws us deeper, the truth opens the eyes of our hearts, and we begin with a wish to greet 2022 with this theme and this wish, arising as embodied life. In the year to come, we'll look at each of these words and explore what we mean and what we envision by this phrase, because it's deeply intentional. But for tonight, I thought I would just give a brief kind of overview of some of the ideas that are speaking to me. The first, obviously, is that life is a gift, and that it's by gift, it's a grace that no one of us can conjure up another life. We cannot explain our own life. Even if you do have a memory of a prior life, you can't even explain that, where it comes from, how it persists, where it goes. All of this is mystery and pure gift. It's so awesome that we each get the gift of being alive right now. Everything else is speculative and conceptual, whether you've been alive before, whether you'll be alive in a different way in the future. What we know is we're alive right now. And that is a beautiful thing. Descartes says, I think, therefore I am. Well, I say, I breathe, therefore I am. I love, therefore I am. I ask a question, therefore I am. I ponder my being, and therefore I am. I am loved, and therefore I am. Life is a gift. How will we use it? But life is occurring for most of us as an embodied capacity in an embodied way. And the teaching of the cosmology of the work does two things, I think, at the very least. Number one, it grounds the psychology and spirituality in a larger system, a cosmology, as above, so below, a physical ray of creation, a universe, and that's beautiful. But it also gives us an inner universe that helps us model our own self off of the solar system and the universe and the ray of creation. And so we have a moon in us, we have a sun in us, etc. And in particular, planet Earth is our body. It's the body that we live on. It's the planetary body that is our life. It's virtually impossible to imagine life apart from planet Earth as human beings as we know it. And so planet Earth becomes our home body and a sacred place, indeed, probably even a living body that may or may not need us. The cosmology of the work opens us to really see that in terms of a scale, we play a very, very small place in the order of things, and yet a crucial place. For God so loved the world, humankind, that he gave his only son, so to speak. This curious place with this curious people that God seems to have a curious plan for. Life is the essence of God, and Father Thomas Keating is famous for saying God is Izzy. God's name is Izzy. I don't know if he spelled that with two S's or two Z's. I like it either way. But he was riffing on the passage in Exodus chapter 3 that Moses encountered Yahweh, Elohim, the God of Israel, the God of Moses, revealed itself to Moses. And Moses said, what shall I call you? What's your name? Who shall I say sent me to them? And God says, I am that I am. And another way of saying that is, I will be who I will be. And I like Thomas Keating's insight. You know, God simply is. I am. It's echoed then later by Jesus, who over and over and over in the Gospel of John says, I am the bread of life. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the bread of life. There's a clear indication that Jesus is saying I am a lot, because he's in the shadow of the great I am, and he's trying to draw a linkage, a bridge to the fact that his life as a human being in union with the divine is revealing something of what God is, that God is and God wishes to be with us, as us. And Jesus' beautiful statement that we are using as our theme, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in the scriptures of the New Testament, there are two Greek words that are often used. And it's important that you know that there are two different Greek words. There's the Greek word for bios, which is ordinary. Well, nothing's ordinary. It's just simply physical life, the life that animals share, the life that we have as a physical body. And then there's Zoe life, Z-O-E, Zoe life, which is spiritualized life, which is energized life, which is radiant life, which is fruitful life, which is the fullness of life that we're designed for as physical beings. So in the Gurdjieff tradition, he says, you don't have a soul. You may not have a soul. You've got to create and build and foster a soul through your practice. And what he's really saying here is this New Testament insight that a lot of people have bios life. They eat, drink, and they're merry. They look like they're human beings. They look like they've got life, but they're really not living. They're walking dead, or to soften the language, they're walking asleep. They're sleepwalking. There's a lot of people who have physical life, but are missing out on the life eternal, on the fullness of life that Jesus came to give us. I have come so that you might have Zoe life and have it to the full. It'll be overflowing. This is where the work says that we are created as self-developing organisms. We're not just here to be bios. We're here to be Zoe. And that is a huge difference in terms of what the purpose of this planet is for, what the purpose of our body is for, what the purpose of perhaps even the universe is for. And so all of a sudden, this notion that your being draws your life is very serious, because if your being is just drawing eating, drinking, and being merry, and the physical dimension, the horizontal dimension, which is fine, you could say this is Oblogonian striving number one. Oblogonian striving number one doesn't end there. It keeps going, right? And so your being can draw a greater, fuller, bigger life than what you could ever imagine. And that's what Barbara said. She's in alignment with the universe. Well, that's about as big of a life as you can draw, I think. Or love, you know, or this, just the sacredness of life, of other people's lives, that this extraordinary capacity to not just see others as a commodity or a physical thing to take pleasure from, or to hurt, or to shame, or say whatever you want to, or to do whatever you want to, but to literally see each human being as the potential for Zoe life, sacred life, the image of God life. It's really quite extraordinary. This is the life we're chasing, and that is arising as body for each of us. Now, we're more than bodies, we're life. We are more than bodies, we are life itself, having an embodied experience. So we want to get the train in front of the caboose. The body isn't king of the hill. The body is a servant to life. And it's crowned, the body is crowned by the Holy Spirit, or the chakra, crown chakra, however you want to talk about it. Body is crowned by spirit, filled with spirit, serves spirit. This is the analogy of the carriage, the driver, and the horse, right? That you remember from our first classes this year. So embodied life, not just life, embodied life is one of the greatest gifts that a human being is given. Just the fact that we're embodied, no matter what kind of body you have, or no matter what kind of quality of embodied life you may have, being embodied is very sacred, very special. And that embodiment is a miracle. It's just a total miracle that it happens, that it continues to happen, and that we are what we are. Nothing can explain it. It's a total miracle. It's from a way higher intelligence than we will ever comprehend. It is the order of world creation and world maintenance level, way high. And we all know the different terminologies to the Re and those worlds. World, you know, we're at world 48, world 24, world 12, world 6, world 3. These are just conceptual numbers that double, that try and convey something of the mystery of the emanation from the higher to the lower. And of course, Cynthia Bourgeot's book on the eye of the heart was very convincing to many of us that these higher worlds are accessible and indeed need to be made contact with. Being here now as this body, so extraordinary to live in this time, to be aware of the mystery of life now at the quantum level, and certainly at the level of DNA, at the cellular level. But embodiment ultimately is a chemical and relational experience. It's really a chemical and electrical thing. That's totally, when you open up that cell and you get into the atoms, it's spiritual. Physical is spiritual. Matter is spiritual. Energy is matter, and matter is energy. And we're looking at the helix, that double helix, which is the language of God, as far as I'm concerned, for this planet. And it's an extraordinary thing. DNA, George Ivanovich Gurdjieff didn't know about DNA. You know, he never mentions it. So this is one example where the work has to keep evolving. We've got to put the work in conversation, especially when it comes to embodiment and what's happening at the genetic DNA level for all of us. And the power of, for example, Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, and how we can speak into our genes and our coded cells, different truths by our affirmations and what fires together, wires together, that famous phrase. So wow, we are informational systems running on a chemical system that's totally relational to ourselves and to others. And that creates energetic fields that can be felt and experienced and impact the world. Recently, Robin Bloor, who is a man of great being in our city in Austin, who is deeply connected and really second generation, third generation to Gurdjieff himself, a student of Rena Hands, who Rena was a very close connected student to Gurdjieff, who actually typed up his manuscript of Beelzebub's Tales. Robin Bloor has been teaching us on Wednesday nights about Beelzebub's Tales. And he throws in these beautiful wisdom statements that were so timely. And these are a few of them that he said in the last month, which I found to be perfectly timed for what we are doing in 2022. He said, the body is a universe. The body is a universe. At the scale of the universe, it scales down almost in the almost opposite direction at the cellular level. The trillions of cells we have in the body seems to mirror the trillions of suns that there are in the universe, or certainly in the solar system or the Milky Way galaxy. He said, you have a body and it can transform influences and feed higher energies. Wow. And it is our duty to do so. So we can eat someone's anger and transform it and turn it back as love. We can eat someone's irritation. We can turn it back as peace. We have a body that can help us on our spiritual journey, be here now in a totally different way than we would be if we weren't working. It is our duty, Robin said. And then this was a brilliant insight that he summed up. Many of us kind of grope like, you know, marbles in water for a definition of what self-remembering is. And I'm convinced most of us all have had the experience of self-remembering. We just can't seem to put words on it very easily. But Robin did. Self-remembering is sensation. Sensation in the body, being in the body, those practicing exercises of being still in the body, some of which Christine O'Brien shared with us, and also that are in Joseph Aziz's book on Gurdjieff and contemplation. Sensation is self-remembering. And that's why, you know, we say self-remembering in Christ, but that's why centering prayer is such a gift to all of us. And not to leave Tim out, we'll just include Tim. Last week, he said a statement that was a part of a longer paragraph that he was saying, but this is what spoke to me. He said, the body is a sacrament. And he was pointing us in the direction that the body is so much of what is the spiritual journey for us. Coming down into the body, he said, incarnating into the body, not ascending up, but coming down into the body, being here now in the body. And this is the sacramental way, coming down to the earth to be here. This is a involution. Evolution is a part of this, the upswing, so to speak, back to God, which is why St. Paul says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we are to be spiritualized physical beings returning back to God. And that way is by way of crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension in the Christian terms. Why the body? Very briefly, we're aware of a lot of this stuff. But we have arising energies in the Hindu system. This is the chakra system. We all encounter these arising energies in different ways. We have pain. How do we navigate our pain? How do we respond to our pain? We have shame about our bodies and our body image. Early on, that's coded in our personality. You know, you're too fat. You're too skinny. You're ugly. Why don't you have this kind of hair like your brother? Why don't this? Why don't that? Shame. And it goes deep and it causes a lifetime sometimes of challenges and friction and sometimes behaviors that are less than healthy. Trauma. Trauma is kind of a million-dollar word these days, but it's just another way of talking about what happens to the personality as it's coded on essence. Even all our traumas are a part of our personality, I think. we have blocks and diseases, energetic blocks, and that may or may not create diseases, but certainly we have diseases that can manifest in the body. We experience diminishment, we experience death. This is our way. We must die. If we're going to be a body, we will die. To be born is to die. Why do we act as if this is not the case? So the work has something to teach us about how to die. Gurdjieff died very consciously. He pushed himself to the end. And others have manifested this way among us too, showing us how to die well. And to die before we die, which is another way of talking about the spiritual journey. We all have appetites and passions that run in our bodies, that use our bodies sometimes in ways that are unconscious. And we find the multiplicity is there very, very much when it comes to our body and its appetites. That's one of the chief ways we can see our multiplicity is just by looking at our different appetites around food, survival, sex, desires for things. You could see a lot about your multiplicity just by looking at our appetites. But we would want to not be driven by these appetites. We have powers and gifts that come to us through our body. Many people have specific gifts physically that manifest. Some people can sing. Some people can run really fast. Some people are strong. Some people have natural, sexy bodies that you just wonder, how did you get that? And some people have extraordinary gifts of physicality that they are able to use in the world for good, for themselves and for others. Some people have healing gifts that they use their body for. They can feel their energy channeling through them. Some people are truly extraordinary in their bodies. And we wonder at them. We marvel at them. They seem like angels. This gets at our presence. The body is a presence. It's the primary presence. If your being draws your life, what is your being? Well, I've read that Gurdjieff lumped a bunch of things in one's being, that he could tell a type or character type just by looking at someone's body. There's an enneagram that we're all familiar with, but there's also a body type that Gurdjieff used a lot more than a type system that he used a lot more than the enneagram when it comes to personalities. So one's presence, what manifests through your physicality, looking at yourself, catching yourself in a mirror, noticing how you smirk or smile, or how you move or your posture, all these things manifest being and attitude and moods. It's really quite humbling and extraordinary how much our presence conveys. Touch. This is a beautiful thing to think about, how touch can bring healing and comfort and also pain. The wrong kind of touch, how it can damage a life almost forever. And it seems touch is so significant for the human body, and so much energy is communicated through touch. Gurdjieff himself was known to be a healer by way of touching. Laying hands upon others is a very well-worn healing path for not only Christian religion, but others. We're discovering the power of heart coherence and energetic fields that arise around bodies, and a way in which the heart participates in that energetic field. That quantum kind of tortoise shell that just moves out into the world and people can feel your presence in that energy. Physical movement is such a gift, and the gift of the actual movements of Gurdjieff, but how yoga has helped so many of us. And these are big things, how our movement or lack thereof impacts our spiritual journey. The physical bodies that create community. Just think, a little baby, 8 months old, 9 months old, starts to be able to know that this is its hand and not its mother's, that this is mother and this is its body. It takes a little bit longer for a baby to know that it even has a body. But the second it knows it has its body, it says, mine. No, you know, don't do that. I don't like that. And so all of a sudden, community is the separation of bodies. This is me and that is you. And we respect these boundaries. We don't have fusion or meshment of bodies without significant damage psychologically and physically. There's a reason I have a contained body. I am Peter and you are not. And you are you and I am not. Just like this cell is healthy and this cell has cancer, cancel clear. But that is a healthy cell, and its job is to keep the unhealthy cell from getting into it. This is called differentiation, healthy boundaries. And that is the heartbeat of healthy community. We love each other. We are believe in the oneness thing to a point, but there's oneness and manyness. We are beings in relationship, and healthy community requires boundaries, period. And especially healthy bodies require boundaries. We don't just keep giving our bodies away to others without experiencing tremendous pain. And so bodies become the primary vehicle of discovering why we're here on this planet and what we can become. But we're more than bodies. One other wish we have to explore in the year to come, and this is kind of a personal mission I have, is to update these very outdated pictures that the work and Maurice Nicol uses in his pie charts. There's total truth in the pie charts, but they need to be updated and evolved under our understanding of the centers. And but in particular, you can see that year one, we did the way draws us deeper, which is kind of the understanding of wisdom. The second year was the truth draws us, the truth opens the eyes of our heart, which was a very much focused on the emotional center. And then this coming year, we'll be looking at the instinctive moving center and a little bit on the, of the sex center. And so you can see how Jesus' statement has inspired us exploring these different centers. But how we understand these centers and how they interrelate is very, very important. One can see here that the higher intellectual center, I drew these lines that are connecting because I think they are connecting, but the higher emotional center, participates in the moving center, in the instinctive center, and perhaps the sexual center, but it needs to participate in very careful ways. Otherwise, things can go wrong. It's a beautiful way of connecting the concept of centers with our body, and we'll explore that this year. Just today in our Meditations on the Tarot class, Mimi was sharing with us her understanding of the Hanged Man, which we were talking about today. And it was so timely because this is, Mimi pointed out to us that the Hanged Man is basically turning upside down the normal centers. And she was suggesting that this puts things in right order. In other words, it really puts the intellectual center last, the emotional center is in the middle, and the instinctive moving center is first. And you can ponder what this might mean for you, but here's the statement from the Meditations on the Tarot about the Hangman and why this is so important. Oops. Let's see, where did it go? Well, I've lost my screen, so I'll have to read off my computer. Who is the Hanged Man? Is he a saint, a righteous man, an initiate? He can certainly be regarded as all three, for all three have in common that their will is an organ of heaven. But what he is most especially, what he represents individually, is neither sanctity, nor righteousness, nor initiation, but something which is their synthesis. The Hanged Man is the eternal Job, as in the biblical Job, tried and tested from century to century, who represents humanity towards God and God towards humanity. The Hanged Man is the truly human man or person, and his lot is a truly human one. The Hanged Man or hanged person is the representative of humanity, who is found between two kingdoms, that of this world and that of heaven. For that which is truly human in man and in humanity is the Hanged Man. And this really gets at what the focus on the body is about. It's about being fully human, coming down into the body fully, and yet being attracted to heaven, heaven above, so to speak. And this gets us to life as a body, the embodied life, moving toward and into Christ together as the body of Christ. And just to give a brief overview on this, we are part of a living system. It's really quite extraordinary that the understanding that we are getting from science and how everything is interconnected. But on this planet and with one another, we are part of a great living system. And this is the body of Christ as well. Socially, from a human perspective, just this image alone, is astounding and terrifying all at once, but we are a totally connected community by way of electricity, technology, information. This connectivity is connecting us right now. And we are a living system, and we're also very connected. And the body is a part of this process of participating in the living system and a connected community with other people who may or may not be physically present with you. Nevertheless, we are connected. This really gets at the circle of conscious humanity and the body of Christ. And then lastly, next year we'll ponder some of the greatest mysteries that a human being can ponder, and the ideas that come to us from the fusion of Christian teachings and the work. And that is the different types of bodies that we can have and develop. The work calls it man number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. We're working toward being balanced man number 4. Things happen at level 5, 6, and 7 that are almost incomprehensible to anyone who's not at that level of development. And this type of language is what we'll explore. What does this mean, and how does it pair with Christian teaching about the spiritual body, the resurrection body, the ascension body? What is the second body that Gurdjieff talks about? How is it related to the Kesjan body? So all these big ideas we will explore, some more deeply than others, but this is a rich, rich subject matter. And it's not just conceptual, it's really quite personal for all of us, because we are all on the spectrum, moving from physical body, bios, to spiritual zoe, into the resurrected body at death, into ascension. If we really take these things at a deep level, it's quite extraordinary to ponder what it all means and what Jesus' revelation showed us about the resurrection body, and Bernadette's teaching on that as well. So in the end, ultimately, we are seeking to be this body now, to incarnate as this person, to celebrate this body that is being spiritualized, that we, of all people, celebrate the gift of being embodied, incarnated, because we celebrate the Feast of Christmas, which is the celebration of the Logos, the divine becoming flesh with us, uniting the human nature and the divine nature, whatever that might mean. And then to hearken back to this statement that when Moses said, "Who should I say sent me?" say, "I am that I am." And Jesus said, "I am this and that. I am the way, the truth, and life." Another way of saying "I am," which is less, you might say, "I focused," is to use the phrase, "This is." So we can shift that language, "I am," which is wonderful in and of itself. But if Yahweh were to reveal itself, it could easily be saying, "This is reality. This is the body of Christ. This is truth. This is love. This is the harmony of the cosmos right here in this body. This is." And so we can all begin to recognize that the personal pronoun "I" is incomplete with the personal pronoun "we." And when "I" plus "we" is put together, the sum is thisness, we-ness, usness, the living body of Christ, the oneness and the manyness, and Tim's dog ball, I think that would be a good image. Anyway, all this awaits us, and I thank you for your patience and listening to this brief preview which I hope does justice to the extraordinary scope that we aim to explore. Read the email. It gives you the 6 or 7 sections of the next year's curriculum, which I think are very compelling. And may our Christmas even now begin to bring us into contact with this wish of arising as embodied life, even as the truth has opened the eyes of our hearts a little bit more than before. I guess that's the time. And I thank you for your attention. Marianne?
Thank you, Peter. And following our prayers, as mentioned, we will see a short video at the end of that tumultuous year of 1968. 3 astronauts flew to the moon on December 21st, and they sent back a Christmas blessing on December 24th. And we can now listen and view what it is that they sent and be imbued with those influences. Until then, may we have a good night and a blessed Christmas. And let us join together in praying aloud and affirming the prayer of God's presence and love. God's love has always met.
God's love has always met.
And will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep, rest in Christ's peace.